and you go,
it's raining. It's raining fairly hard. You're wet.
Well, you have to be, I guess, unless you can dodge raindrops.
Let me just dry you a minute. The reason I'm recording is because I'm conscious of the fact that my brain spectacularly failed me in my last boom. I was struggling to find the word that, good chap. Shake for me. Shake. No?
Good boy. Good boy.
That American brethren and Canadian brethren use for crisps. And of course, it's chips. And I'm struggling and saying fries and all sorts. Of course, French fries are chips, as we know them. And chips are crisps. So I felt really embarrassed because I've been to America and spent quite a bit of time there. So I should really know these things. But for some reason, my brain decided to cease its working, which is a shame. What have you got? Oh, it's tissue. Oliver, got anything in your mouth? Don't act all hard done by. Oh dear. So yeah. Yeah, I was talking about choices, wasn't I? And about how people have choice, and of course some people don't. It'd be arrogant to assume anyone has choice, because sadly they don't. Money dictates. The thing about money is, people say money's the root of evil and things, but money, one thing money does buy, it isn't necessarily happiness, but choice. And I think, that choice brings happiness. So indirectly, money does buy happiness, because money gives you... Stop it now, please. I'm busy. Just give me that a minute. Leave it. Thank you. Wait. Yeah, because I think money itself doesn't buy happiness, but money gives you choice. And as humans, we crave choice. We crave the ability to make proactive decisions and to control our environments and control our processes and what we think and what we feel. If you don't have much money, say you're wanting to buy, I don't know, something as mundane as a cushion, you can only get specific types because of your budget. And if you had more money, I'm sure you would have more choice and buy a different cushion maybe. So, choice. Yeah, sorry to go on about this, but it's kind of interesting. I think everyone wishes they had more choice. And everyone wishes they had more money in order for them to have more choice. Money. Yeah. I don't think I've ever wanted to be wealthy. I never wanted to be a billionaire. Because the problem with that, it devalues things. I think now, when you have to save up to buy something, or you have to research and find the best price and actually think in a few weeks or whatever months I'll be able to get this thing, that gives that thing value. Whereas if you had the money, you can just buy it willy-nilly, that devalues objects. So objects have value because of their price tag. And therefore we assume it has intrinsic value because of that. So I think when you have to think to yourself, you know, I love that thing, I'll get it in X number of weeks when I have enough money, that makes that thing more worthwhile. But then again, that may cause veneration. We may venerate that thing too much and elevate it over and above its real worth. So there's an internal dialogue between worth and value, which is kind of interesting too. Yeah. And of course, what I value wouldn't be what somebody else values. It becomes a matter of personal taste. But I do think it's the Emperor's New Clothes, though, sometimes, because Just because something's expensive, the assumption is it's worth that price tag, it's worth something more. Therefore, it has more value than something else. So you see people spending horrendous amounts of money on objects, and the money completely outbalances its real worth. And then we have the issue of art and beauty and ontological versus the deontological philosophies of what art and what beauty means. And then you walk into the precincts then of thinking to yourself, should there be a price on beauty, or should it be something for everyone to enjoy? But of course there is a price, because art costs money. Although I would debate that some of these things probably aren't art. They're just a collection of things that are meant to perpetrate a reaction. And then you can ask yourself, well, art should do that. Art should give you an emotional reaction. Well, why then are some portraits, all portraits actually, much more expensive than books? You get emotional reaction through books, or from books, and a much more long-lasting emotional reaction rather than just a look at a photo or a picture. Although I guess that picture could hang on your wall and you could look at it every day. But even so, I would assume that it takes more, well, it does take much more time to write a book than it does to make a piece of portraiture or paint something. I used to do pastel landscapes. I used to do very well. I used to sell them. I was good at it. I sold lots of pastel landscapes. It was a thing I did. I enjoyed. I was good at. But when I couldn't see enough to do that, I transferred that particular small spark of Promethean spark of creativity and started to take my writing more seriously. But it takes me far longer to do a picture than it does to write a book, yet the picture has much more value. So who values it? The mind or the soul? And is there a dialogue between the two? Anyway, that's it for me. I wanted to correct the chips thing. Cheers. Bye-bye.